God, praise God. A call to worship, a call to gather, a call to come together. Even online, let's come together. I trust you're starting with us just when we're starting, that there is a call to worship. May that call continue to resound always in our heart. In the midst of busyness, in the midst of whatever you do, may you hear the place that just says, oh, stop and worship. Just stop and extol his name. Stop and give him glory. Oh, Lord, we welcome you. Lord, we come together and we're so delighted to see one another, to be gathered together in your name for your glory and purposes, for your pleasure. But we come together more than we come together to connect with one another. We come together to be with you, to honor your name. May there be a place that you are so delighted that your people want to connect together just to declare praises to you, to honor your word that goes forth, to gather, to exalt our Lord, our King, our God. That's you. Oh, we praise your name. Hallelujah. I felt today that let's read together Psalm 145. We're going to put it up here so you can follow along. But there's such a place, and as you read it, and as you say the words that say, I will, we will, recognize that's a commitment we're making before the Lord, that freshly, in a fresh way, in a fresh opportunity, we have to declare, Lord, that's a real commitment of our lives to worship you. So let's read this together, and also to recognize that we couldn't declare all these things if we didn't have relationship and know who he is. Because in this psalm, there's acknowledgement of the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the amazing person and the amazing one he is in our lives. And so that we recognize as we declare this, we're also acknowledging, Lord, I am so pleased I have a relationship with you. I know you and can exalt you. So let's stand and do this together. Let's read this together. Here, I'll just read it up there with you. Now remember, it's I. We're saying this. We each are saying, I will extol you, my God, O King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, yes, and shall declare your mighty acts. Oh, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. And all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. That's us. To all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Hallelujah. My mouth, it says, will speak. My mouth will speak of his glory. I will praise his name. I will exalt him. So today, as we lift our voices in song, let's know that we are fulfilling our commitment. I will exalt you. My mouth will speak of the praise of the Lord, the one who is good, the one who's faithful, the one who hears our cries, the one who satisfies, the one who lifts us up when we fall, the one who carries us, the one who feeds us. That's the Lord that we worship. That's the Lord that we exalt. He is worthy of all our praise. Lord, you are worthy of all our praise. We will extol your name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
This is a house of worship. This is a house of praise, where every demon trembles, proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say. You Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. Crown me with confidence, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Tried so hard to see it, took me so long to believe it. You chose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve.
Thank you.
Yeah.
you. To worship. There's no one like you. Thank God I was created to worship. Yeah, there is no one like you. I was created to worship you. There is the shout of the earth will be your praise, yeah. God forever and the light unto all will be your wonderful name, Jesus, for the glory, Lord, is yours. Nothing can. Cause I was created to lift up the name of Jesus, to be a display of your glory, God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, our unity with you comes shining through.
I'm not afraid to die.
They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength, mounting up, mounting up with wings like eagles. They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength, mounting up, mounting up with wings.
Saith the Lord, this day, for every one of mine, I break down the wall. I break down the mountain. That wall is surrounding. I break that wall and I break that mountain of fear. Fear is canceled out of your lives this day. So walk through confident. Walk through with my love. Carry my anointed word to the world, because today I have torn down that wall of fear and that mountain of fear. This is not the time to not have my love in you. My love carries joy and peace and righteousness. My love never fails. And this day, the walls and the mountain is torn down of fear. Walk through gladly. Focus, focus, focus more. Look up to me, for that wall is gone. That wall is no longer blocking you. That mountain is no longer blocking you. Look to me, for I am the one that adores you, thus saith the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
I hear Jesus saying that I will come back for you, my children, and I will be with you every part of the way. Every single day, I will live in you, and I will protect you from any evil. Any evil that comes near you will see the power of my word, and I will defeat all evil. One day, we will defeat evil together.
This is the day. This is the day.
Hallelujah. And the Lord says to LaVon and Lisa, I recognize what you're contending with, but I hear your cry unto me, and I say, I am for you, and you will see a breakthrough. You will see accomplished things that you did not even expect, for I am breaking through on your behalf. That says the Lord God Almighty, who says, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. And I hear the Lord say to you, Michael, because you made a decision, because you made a decision to step out of where the others were going, and you said, no, I'm going to follow after you. And you recognize that it's a lonely path. It's a path that you walk sometimes alone. But I say to you, I have companions who are going to come and join with you and add strength to your life. There are companions who are going to come, and as you speak to them, you're going to stir up what's in them, and they're going to stir up what's in you, and together you're going to become a mighty force for me, said the Lord God Almighty, for I am moving on your behalf. And Tina, the Lord says, yes, you said, Lord, is this the day? And I say, yes, this is the season. This is the season of breakthrough for you, daughter, for you have walked faithfully with me, but I say, this is a season of breakthrough. In a number of places you're going to see breakthrough, in healing, in finance, in relationship, oh, in wisdom and knowledge also upon you, for you have said, Lord, above all those earthly things, I want you. And I say, because as you want me, I say to you, I offer myself to you. Come into that intimate place, for I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to provide even those very things that you have sought after. And the Lord says to you, Joanne, you too have sought after other things. You have said, Lord, I only want you. I only want what you to bring, are bringing forth. And this day I put into your mouth words of wisdom for those who seek counsel from you. There are those who gather around you and who have some confusion and have some distortions, and you recognize it. But I say to you, you have a word of wisdom that you can speak into their lives and see them quickly align. For my word is designed to bring quick alignment, to bring alignment quickly to those things that I am doing, and to, that you will be able to rejoice and say, Lord, I see you have done this. I didn't do it. You have done it. And I say, yes, I will do it. Maureen, and I say to you, in your workplace, there are some who are watching, and you sometimes want to say, well, this will be too much for them, but I'm not going to be too much for them. I'm going to be enough for them. And as you share my word, as you share my life, as you share what you have, as you're bold to pray, you're going to see some breakthrough in the lives of some people that you have cared about. You've cared about them from a distance just to say, Lord, I would just love to see you move on their behalf. And I will. I'll move because it's in your heart, and what's in your heart is there because it's in my heart. And I will move on, do those things. The Lord says, for so many of you, you have been seeking, you've been looking, but this is a day of miracles. And where will those miracles come forth? They'll come forth from you. They'll come forth because of you're willing to speak. They'll come forth because you're willing to pray. They'll come forth because you're willing to stand. I'm going to show myself, the Lord says. I'm going to show you myself strong on your behalf. I'm going to show you myself mighty. I'm going to bring forth my glory, and you carry my glory.
Oh, just lift your hands this morning. That word's for everyone. You are a miracle waiting to happen. So, Father, we receive your word. We thank you that we believe. We receive, and we thank you we are the miracle about ready to happen in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us. We sang about opening our mouth and declaring. So let's declare this together. Say, Lord,
I thank you
that you created me
in your likeness and image
to be a miracle.
I thank you for saving me.
Therefore, I'm a miracle. And you put in me your Holy Spirit that's ready to break out in signs and wonders and miracles. For I am a revival breaking out. Fill me now with a boldness, a holy boldness, that when I open my mouth, out of my mouth will begin to flow words of miracles, signs and wonders. For you said you watch over your word, and it will not return empty. So every word that I speak is the proceeding word of God, flowing out of my mouth, and you are watching over it to perform signs and wonders and miracles, and it will not return empty to you. Just bless them right now and thank them. We thank you for the miracle in our mouth, Lord. Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That you hold miracles? I want all of you to stretch forth your hand towards Lola. You don't know some of the things she's seeking for. You don't know the miracle that she wants to take place in her life. But God knows. And if you carry that power, let's declare right now, miracle occur. Miracle occur. Miracle occur. Miracle occur. Miracle occur. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I expect we'll hear some tremendous testimony.
Keep pressing in. Keep pressing. There's more. There's more.
Now, the Lord says, there's many of you, the season is changing. You've been in a season for a long time. You've got to be comfortable.
Yeah.
You've been used to things. And as the season is changing, the resources that he's been using is changing.
Uh-huh.
Have I not said I've given you an ear to hear? And I have given you an eye to see?
Yeah.
As you press into me,
yeah,
you'll begin to see it. You'll begin to understand it. And the enemy will try to bring fear against you to draw back. But I have no pleasure in those who draw back, but those who press in.
Yeah, yeah.
Those
who
press in will receive and embrace the season.
Yes.
You will embrace it. And as you embrace it, it will embrace you.
Yes, Lord.
And my peace will grow. My grace will grow.
Yeah.
So as the season begin to change, it'd be like, the Lord says, the Lord said it like this. I know I heard it like this from Brother Hagin. It's like washing your feet. With your socks on. Things are not working like it used to work. It don't feel right. And you start trying to search and looking for ways of what to do and what will work. But no, says the Spirit of the living God, I have been put within you as your helper. And as you rely on me, you'll know where the resources are.
Yeah.
You will know where to go. Yeah. You will know. Your confidence will grow.
Yeah.
And you will show my workings to those who are around you. Because others, they'll be going through, their times are changing, and they won't know what to do, so fear will begin to come upon them. But as you be the example of my relationship you have with me to them, they will begin to sense the way to go, and they will be drawn to me and my wisdom and my understanding. So know that your season is changing.
Yes. Lift your hands right now. He's imparting wisdom for this new season.
Thank you, Father.
Just receive. Receive the new season, but receive the provision for this new season. There's a download coming right now. Spirit of wisdom and revelations filling you in a fresh and new way. Your eyes are being opened to see what you've never seen before. Your ears are being opened. So just receive that right now. It's the Spirit of God that's falling out on us in a fresh and a new way. And let's agree and just pray. And we're going to send a word to Sue Kirkwood this morning, Daryl. Father, we thank you. We lift up Sue right now. We bind, Father, every symptom of stroke in her body. We stand with Daryl right now. We send your word. We say, let your word begin to transform her. Bring back, Father, everything that was lost, Father, in the name of Jesus. Her speech, Father, any paralysis in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let her have an encounter in her inner man right now that begins to break out in her body. We thank you for a miracle, Father, in Sue's body in the name of Jesus. And just comfort Daryl right now. Surround Daryl with the peace of God. That Father, he's speaking the word. That they're in faith right now. So we stand in faith with them. And we lift the shield of faith against every arrow coming from the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Aha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank Him again. Oh, we thank you. We thank you right now what you're doing. We thank you for the new season. We thank you, Father. We continue to stand in faith. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, worship team. You know, the war is really over our worship. the war in the heavens, but the war in the earth is who you're going to worship in these last days. And how we're going to worship. We're not going to worship the way we used to worship. It's going to be an intense worship. Amen? And so, yeah, bring it on over. Well, it's good to see everyone. I pray y'all had a great Thanksgiving. I know our house was full, and people ask, well, how was your Thanksgiving? I say, well, our house was full. Our table was full. So I brought a couple of pictures to show you our table being full of our family. So do you have that? Oh! Whoa, wrong family. I thought I gave them some other pictures. That's our other family. That's Regal. This is after Thanksgiving. The first one was the table being full at Thanksgiving. This is after Thanksgiving. You see the one there, it's his tummy's full and he's laying there. So, well, wrong pictures. But anyhow, I hope your family was full. I know that after Thanksgiving, that's how we often feel. But people have been asking how Regal's doing. Regal's up at my son's house, and our house was full, except for my son Robert and Betsy and their family. They were up there taking care of the puppies. And so we got a picture from Betsy this morning. I think it's real prophetic that, you know, for 10 days, 2 weeks, the puppy's eyes are closed. They can't see. And Betsy sent a picture this morning. I think it's kind of prophetic because all the puppies have royal names. And because she's Regal and Regal's fit for a king, so all the puppies have royal names. And this morning she sent a picture of the first one that's eyes popped open. And it was Queen. Queen's eyes popped open, and boy, it brings on a whole different personality. And so Betsy sent that up, and we're excited, and it brought back memories when we picked up Regal as a puppy and her eyes and all that. So we had a great Thanksgiving, and we pray that you did too, and our house was full. This week, we hit the ground running. We start with First Fruits on Tuesday morning. So you want to be here with Prophet Susie. First Fruits is just that. It's First Fruits. Just setting the atmosphere, not only here in the house, but in the region. And so if you have opportunity to come out at 9:30, it starts with some worship and praise. At 10 o'clock, it goes live. And Susie brings a word and declares a word and declares it into our region, into our state. And so you can be a part of that on Tuesday mornings from 9:30, and then they conclude with some worship and conclude at 11. Then you can go right into intercession if you want at 12, because we have intercession Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of every week with Mary and her group, and they come in and they're just pressing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And so we encourage you to come from noon to 1 on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And if you make one day, that's fine, or other days, but join them. And this week is Connecting Point. It's the last one of this year, and so ladies, you don't want to miss Connecting Point. It's been just building intensity, and so I know how we end the year determines how we go into the new year. So we want to enter leave strong so we can enter strong. And so ladies, that's this Saturday, Connecting Point. This Wednesday is our last class of biblical citizenship. We've gone 8 weeks, but we're inviting everyone to come and get a taste, because this class will tell us the importance of why we need to be involved in the election process. And so if you just want a glimpse of the biblical citizenship, as we shared last week, our first primary has now been moved up. The state of Michigan's been moved up to February 27th. And so we're about, 2 months away? 3 months away, 90 days to that first primary. And so you need to know what, how to be involved in the election process. So we invite everyone to come out for this last class, and then we'll repeat the classes sometime in 2024, because we do have in November national elections that are really critical, and where we stand and what we what we do in that time. So you can come on this Wednesday. It's the last class, Biblical Citizenship. So we're hitting the ground running into December, into the new year. And so we invite you. Thank you for your generous giving through the month of November in the breakthrough funds. We were able to give out many gift certificates, cards to many families, not only here in the congregation, but you've been very generous and we've gone outside. But we'll go continue receiving offerings through the Breakthrough Fund and also through the other that you put on there, or Feed the Hungry, will all go to getting food certificates for the holidays and Christmas time. So thank you again. That's an offering you're sown into. And one time, maybe the first of the year, the Lord will give me the opportunity to speak on 2 Corinthians 9 that talks about the Lord gives you the seed to sow, and also he gives you seed to eat. Make sure you're not eating the seed that you're supposed to be sowing. Because if you eat it, then everything dries up. And so it says that, you know, he gives you the seed not only to eat. He'll provide your provision, but he also give you seed to sow so that you can prosper, not just be self-sufficient, but you can bless others. So make sure you're sowing seed. It's a good place to sow seed in the breakthrough fund. So let's just pray. We want to dismiss the children. I want them to see our family and report of them. They're 2 weeks old today, those little ones. It's amazing and how fast they grow, and they're changing. Their ears are next to pop open, and we saw the first one starting to walk on its own, and it's kind of wobbly, and it falls over and falls that. But with Queen opening her eyes, I think that they won't completely see for several weeks, but their eyes are open. It will be kind of blurry, but it's kind of like the Lord. We don't always see, but when he opens our eyes, we don't see the fullness. But if we stay in that, he'll open our eyes up so that we can see the fullness. And so it's a time of our eyes being open. So let's pray as we dismiss the kids and receive the word. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the joy of this season. It's reminded of your goodness and who you are. And we thank you for your provision, that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But not only our needs, but Father, you give us seeds to sow. And we thank you, Father, you give us a provision for our own needs, but also seeds to sow to provide, Father, and bless others. So we thank you for the joy of this season, but the joy of being a believer, of sowing, Father, and we know that when we sow, we'll also reap. So we thank you. Thank you for your word right now, Father, that your word, Father, is exploding. It's opening up the eyes of our hearts and the eyes of our understanding, that we can see you more clearly. So we say, Father, open up our hearts and our eyes that we might hear and see like we've never seen or heard before. We thank you for this new season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Where's my Bible? We've been talking the last several weeks, and the Lord keeps telling and emphasizing on me manifested sons of God, or the manifestation of the glory of God. The new season we're moving in, and we're moving out of, and the last season wasn't bad if you stayed in it. So we're moving the things that God revealed us in the last season into the new season. So some things you leave behind. It's like when you move, you know. When you move, it's crazy because you got some stuff you take to Salvation Army. Some got stuff you just take to the curb. And then some stuff you take with you and later find out you don't need that stuff you took with us. Come on, some of you, you know what we're talking about. In fact, I think it was my mother-in-law or my that said, you ought to move every 7 years.
There you go.
Those who've been beyond 7 years, you know what you've accumulated. You know, and I thought my last two or three moves, that was my last move, and I just leave it for my kids to take care of what I accumulated. But that hasn't happened, so we've had to downsize and give some away and bless others. And some we sold to Salvation Army, and some we just sold to the curb. But this is a season that we know what the season is, and we can't have the baggage we've had in last season to move in the next season. Okay, So the manifested sons of God, the glory of God, seeing God. And I want to talk about that a little more. In 2 Chronicles, and I keep going back there. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this. If my people, notice it's conditional. It starts with an if. It doesn't say this is going to happen. It's conditional on our part. This is what God will do on his part if we do our part. So he says, if my people who are called by my name, and he clarifies, he's not talking about all people on the earth. Yeah. He's talking about his own people who are called by his name. So if you're a believer, you've accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, then you're called by his name. You're called Christians, Christ-like ones. He's created you in his image and his likeness. And so he's addressing it to us, even though it's in the Old Testament. He continues to speak to his people, and he says, if my people do these things, and I believe they're in chronological order, I believe we can stop at any one of these. But his ultimate is to take us through the full process so that we can see the full manifestation of the fullness of God. Amen. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. The first thing he wants us to do is humble himself. And I think in 1 Peter it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It starts with humbling yourself under his mighty hand. True humility is looking not at yourself, but allowing Jesus to look at you and reveal who you are. So humbling yourself under his mighty hand. And how do you do that? Casting down all your anxieties, all your cares, all your worries. It means putting everything under his mighty hand.
Amen.
Amen. So if my people will start in that position, you come to him in that way, you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You humble yourself. How do you see me? He says, no, I made provision for you. You receive Jesus as Lord of your life. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. You'll be saved. If you believe in your heart. It's conditional. If you confess with your mouth, he's already made provision to save the world. Why isn't everybody saved? Because they haven't believed in their heart and confessed him with their mouth. So you start with humbling yourself under his mighty hand. The second thing it says, and pray. And I believe there's a lot of emphasis going on about prayer. And we need to pray. But you know, in the last season, we stirred up prayer and, you know, all kinds of prayer we've been taught in this last season. But it's not just any kind of prayer. It's not prayers you feel like you should be praying. To go to the next one, it says seeking his face. I believe we're in the season right now of seeking his face. And when you seek his face and know you're seated in heavenly places with him, you're not going to pray your same old selfish prayers. You're going to pray prayers that he gives you to pray.
Amen.
And you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you find when you get things first place and first in your life, it says seek. There's a lot about seeking. And seeking is not just kind of a casual, you know, it's not like Apostle Linda sent out a family email. What do all the grandchildren and children want for Christmas? You know, it's not kind of like the kids have to seek. All they have to do is tell her. That's not the kind of seeking. All we do is tell God and we believe we're going to get it. That's not the kind of seeking it is. This is intense seeking, seeking his will to be done in our life, seeking his will to be done as in heaven and on earth. So the seeking is a real intense. But it's as we seek his face and know where we're seated, our identity is in him and we're seated with him in heavenly places, then we know that as we seek his face from that place of being seated with him and looking intently into his face. And that's what it really means, intently. We're going to look at that this morning. Because I'm going to, you know, I can still hear Charles Capps teaching on tearing down sacred cows. I don't know why that just popped up. But you know what a sacred cow is? It's a tradition that you have. It's a belief you have. It's something that is contrary to what the scripture actually says. And I believe we're going to take down some religious spirits this morning. You ready? And we shout amen, but are you sure? Because it starts with you. It's easy to point the finger, but religious spirits and spirits of tradition need to start with us. And when we seek his face intently, not just seek it, you know, casually, It says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The other things get added as you seek first.
Amen.
It's not a casual seeking. Come on. Are you ready to?
Amen.
Go
for it.
I'm trying to help you. Get ready.
Amen.
It's good to say yes, amen, and do that. But then let's wait and see. Because when you seek first to seek his face first, you're going to have an intimate relationship with him.
Amen.
He wants us to move into intimacy with him. And revealing the sons of God is what all creation is travailing for. What is revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God? The word sons in there is critical. Because when you're born again, you're a child of God. You're a son or a daughter of God. But that word in the Greek is not the sons it's talking about. It's not looking for baby sons. In 1 John, it talks about children, it talks about young men, and it talks about fathers. There's degrees of sonship in Scripture. When you get born again, you're a baby Christian. And if you desire the sincere milk of the Word, you will grow. Without the Word, you'll stay a baby. And a baby is always looking how to be spoon-fed, how to be fed by others, how to be taken care of others, others to pray for you, to meet your needs. It's dependent upon others. That's not the sonship that the world's looking for. So there has to be a shift in the body of Christ because the body is full of nursery babies. So if you're tired of being spoon-fed, then you're in the right place. If not, you better get out of here. The second one is young men. And these men were ones that went to battle. These were the warriors, it says. These are the ones that know who they are and tears down strongholds. But this is not the sons it's talking about. We've been in warfare mentality for about 30 years now. And knowing how to battle in the spirit. But the third area of sonship is fathers. Father is those that reproduce after themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
How many spiritual sons and daughters do we have that we produced that look like us? Oh, just went quiet. So you following me? When we're talking about manifested sons, this is the revealing of the mature sons, the fathers. That's what the world's waiting for. So God's got some work to do. Wouldn't you agree? Holy Spirit's got some work to do. It doesn't matter where you are in the process, there's room for growth. Don't ever settle in one of those realms. You get to be a father, you realize the weightiness of that. But man, there's so much growth to go. You keep growing.
Yes.
And expanding. This is a time of expansion.
Yes.
I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually.
Amen.
Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
I need to clarify when I talk about manifested sons of God. I'm not talking about just any believer. I'm not talking about just getting people born again.
Right.
That begins the process. But I'll tell you, natural childbirth is the easy part. The growing them up 18 years is the hard part. Woo! I could tell you something exciting that happened this week for me on Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving, our family has a annual football game. When we started off, it was terrible because we bring in, it was everybody. You had, you know, me all the way down to young kids. They want the football, everybody. I mean, it was a fun time. But you had to learn to relax because it was fun. It wasn't going to be serious. You got that? Because when you have a five-year-old that's playing, wants to catch the ball, doesn't know what he's doing, then you got a young teen that, you know, hasn't got all of his body parts together, and he's out of control, and he runs into you and smashes you and hurts you. This one, we had 18 How many can put out of your family? This is just my family. 9 on 9 people playing football. And it was intense. Woo! She can verify. I could hardly walk by the time we had dinner. My knees were burning. Everybody got assigned to cover someone. And I thought, surely I'll get assigned one of the younger guys. I didn't get assigned one of them. I got assigned to one of the young ladies that's coming into our family who's got great hands, plays sports, and runs. I'm telling you, it didn't happen overnight. I heard it coming from my son, Robert, and from others. That was the best football game we ever had. You know why it was big? Because everybody was included, and there were so many same levels. And the ones that weren't on the same level, we have a couple of those. One here this morning, I mean, they're beyond us. They let everybody else participate in. Because they're so much faster, taller, bigger. Others are grown into it. But it was fun. So God is in a process of bringing us all into sonship so we can all participate. Ooh, you want to participate in what God's about ready to do?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I want to show you this process that we're in and entering into the manifold or the manifested or the revealing of the sons of God. And the revealing of the sons of God are those that are mature. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Paul says, I pray that you would all grow up in all aspects unto the Lord. So it's not just growing up in some spiritual dimensions with more knowledge. It's about growing up and encountering God in a new and a fresh way. This is very important. I can't get away from this. Seeking His face. 2 Chronicles says, seek His face. And once you seek His face, what's the next thing? You're going to turn away everything that's not of Him. You'll turn around. That's repentance. You're going to turn, when you seek His face, you're going to turn from everything that's not of Him, that's of self, and you're going to turn around. The evidence that we've sought His face is there's a turning around.
Amen.
That's the spirit of repentance. When you encounter Him, but most of us say, well, how am I going to seek His face? Well, that's why we're going to read Acts chapter 5. Because there's a transition starting to happen in Acts chapter 5. And we're going to go through 3 chapters today to help you move into transition. Because up until Acts chapter 5, the move of the Spirit, disciples are growing, the church is growing. And this is what it says in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 33, it says, and with great power the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord, and the abundant grace was upon them all. In chapter 4, up to chapter 4, and even in chapter 5, the grace was upon the apostles to do signs and wonders and miracles, and the rest got the overflow of it. Most of the church has not got out of Acts 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because we still believe that the only ones that flow in signs and wonders and miracles are the apostles and those in leadership. And up until this time in Acts, that's true. But there's a transition about ready to break out. It's going to cause revival to happen.
Amen.
See, right now, yeah, the 5,000 is great, the 3,000. But what about the billion? The billion harvest that we're talking about.
Yes.
There's not one evangelist.
All right. Come on.
It's going to take all of us operating in the spirit of an evangelist.
Yes. Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Hallelujah. Chapter 4. It says again in verse 12, or chapter 5, verse 12, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord. Notice again, the emphasis is many signs and then miracles and signs followed them. Now look what happens in verse 17 in chapter 5. But the high priest rose up along with his associates, that is the sect of Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. Oh my goodness. What happens? There's a breakout of revival happening. They just got through in chapter 3 when Peter and John were on the way to the temple. Remember, the lame man was at the gate and they healed him. They went to prison for that. God got them out of prison. They get back out. They report in chapter 4 to their associates. And now signs and wonders are starting to increase in the apostles. And what happens? The Sadducees, which are part of the Jewish culture, and their associates are getting jealous of the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Yeah. It's all right if you have church. As long as the church doesn't affect us. Because now they start to see the people that are getting saved, or the people that are getting healed, are now getting saved. They're starting to leave the church, the synagogue, and they're starting to go into this new faith church. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Well, look, let's go back down to chapter 5, verse. Where do I want to start? Let's start with, I could read all this, but let's start with verse 37. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of census and drew away some people after him. No, that's not where I want to start. Verse 38. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or of action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow. I don't know why I read that, but I do now. Be careful, and I have to guard myself on this. I hear about reports of things breaking out all over. Right. And there's a spirit, and the spirit I just got, there's a spirit of jealousy. Well, it's not happening here. If it's not happening here, well, you know, that can't be God. Be careful. Here's a scripture, you know. God's not locked into your box or our location. Rejoice with them. If it's God, he'll take care of it. If it's wrong, he'll expose it. If it's not of God, you can't stop it.
Amen. Amen.
That's a good word for me. It has nothing to do with what I was going to say today, but it's there. I better address that, because there's things happening that are crazy out there. I mean, crazy good. But you start wondering, when's it going to happen here? Or why aren't I experiencing that? There's things happening here that I hear other people say, well, it's not happening there. Let's be careful. If it's God, let him take care of it, and you can't stop it. But if it's not God, he'll take care of it. It's not your business to be the spiritual police officer. Stay in your own business. Okay, that was extra. That was for me. And so, you know, they're jealous that the council has got them. Let's look at the council, because the council again is in verse 17. The high priest rose along with his associates. That is the sect of Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. And then in verse 21, it says, in the latter part, now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. See, they can become jealous, and now all their associates are looking for all those that agree. I call this the fake news. Well, not everything that's being said out there is true.
That's right. That's right. Most of it's a lie.
Especially when signs and wonders and miracles, when the church starts to get hit with this revival, not everybody's going to be happy with it. They're already taking and passing legislation to shut down the assemblies that keep proclaiming the name of Jesus, because they're going to get jealous, because when they get saved out there, they're going to start coming in here to get trained.
Amen, 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 amen.
They don't want that. And you know what happens then? They start losing their emphasis and their support system because it starts coming into the kingdom of God. You want to talk about a transfer of wealth. We're about ready to see a transfer of wealth come out of the world into the body of Christ. But it's only going to come because this transition happens before. So they called him before, and let's go, because we got a long way to go to get chapter 7. Verse 40. Verse 39. But if it's God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. I don't want to fight against God in this, determining what he's doing, what he's not doing. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough time in my life. Bless them, Lord. If that's you, that's good. If it's not you, you'll take care of it, and I'm fine. Okay? Verse 40. They took his advice, and after calling, the council took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, then released them. I'm going to tell you that we're on the verge of this happening right now. In this nation, not in Iran or Iraq. It's on the verge of happening right now. They're going to tell you what you can preach and what you can't preach. They don't care what you preach inside the church. They care what you preach out there. That's what they're trying to do, is lock us up, and you talk Jesus all you want, just don't talk about him out there. But look what the apostles did. So they went their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Are you ready for this? Man, if they start persecuting, are you really ready to rejoice? Counting it, whoa! They're taking notice. Did they shut up? No. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They increased more. Yeah, they heard what they said. The council said, yeah, we're going to let you go. But stop preaching that name. And immediately they left. And immediately, every day from house to house and in the temple, they preached Jesus Christ. Amen. Now chapter 6. You ready for chapter 6? Because it's a progression of what's happening. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number. So now in the midst of the persecution, the disciples are increasing. You want to see an increase in the body? It's going to come with persecution.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
That's the pattern in the scripture. It comes through being, they were dispersed. They were scattered. We're going to see that. And in that, whoa, there came a complaint. I'm going to tell you, in this revival, a lot of complaints are going to start happening. And where does it happen? It's going to happen in the church. The move of God happened in the house of Israel, but in the house of Israel was where all the complaints started to come. Are you following this? A complaint comes. So start expecting it, because not everybody's coming in all cleaned up. Are you ready there? And it shows us what these complaints were. Even this term of this first one says, arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews. Doesn't that even sound demonic? Hellenistic. That's what I thought it was. But it's not demonic. The Hellenistic Jews were the Jews that spoke Greek. So they had their own synagogue. And then it says the other Hebrews, that this was the native Hebrews. The native Hebrews were those that spoke Hebrew. So they couldn't go to the same synagogue because they wouldn't understand. So the Hellenistic Jews were not bad Jews. They were just Jews that had come out of the Greek culture that spoke Greek, but they didn't understand Hebrew. And so in this revival, there's this argument that's rising between the native Hebrews who speak Hebrew and listen to Hebrew in the temple and synagogue against the Hellenistic Jews who, they're still Jews. Do you see this? You understand what's happening?
Yep.
Let me tell you something that has happened in this war that they haven't never seen in Israel. Two things are happening. One, in the midst of war, all those that have been scattered to the nations, there's people coming back from the nations into Israel. And those that aren't coming back are engaging by pouring in finances and support. They haven't had that before. Coming back in. That's one of the signs in Ezekiel. Is that when those that have been dispersed start to come back in, that's a sign of an end time. The second thing that's happening inside of Israel is all the fashions and all the division between the Orthodox Jews and all the fashions, they've all now come into agreement for the first time. Because they're in the same war. Woo! We're in war. Look at all the fashions the church has. When we understand, when it starts to come in persecution, it should draw us that we're all on the same team. Yes. So there's a pattern here. Yeah. I'm just setting you up, so it's going to get good. Yeah. So it says, they called, and notice why it said, it says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. Now, it wasn't an intentional overlook, but it was an overlook. Okay? And notice what it says. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples. Notice, they didn't bring the leadership together to solve this. The Apostle 12 didn't say, okay, we'll go and pray and solve this. They brought the congregation of believers and they said, choose out of that congregation disciples. So there's a difference between being a part of a congregation, being a disciple. Come on. It's making a transition from just the apostles doing signs and wonders. You're going to see that this in a minute. That every one of us can move in the gifts of the Spirit. Every one of us.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
It's breaking this cycle. So the apostles could have said, yeah, we can solve this. Let's get an answer. You know why they said, look in the congregation and choose out? Because the congregation knows better than the leadership what's going on in each other's lives.
Yep, 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 yep.
Because they relate to each other. So notice what they said when they told them to choose out. They said, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select among you, notice the congregation disciples, select among you 7 men of good reputation. Who knows better what your reputation is than those that you hang out with? So they said, the best ones that know what's going on in your life are those you hang out with. They know if you're a true disciple or not. They know if you're representing Christ or not. So he didn't say, go and just, you know, he didn't say, we can select. Oh yeah, you be one and you be one and you be one. They didn't do that. They said, you select among yourselves 7 men of good report. The first thing is you must have a good testimony yourself before you can be a testimony. Amen. And the best ones that know that you have a good testimony are those that you hang out with. Amen. If I really want to know what's going on in your life, I ought to talk to the members of your family. Woo! That's scary. If that doesn't work, talk to the people you work with. If that doesn't work, go and ask your neighbors. What's their testimony? Tell me what their testimony. Well, I don't know. I just see them leave every Sunday morning. I don't know where they go. They know where we go. Apostle Linda stands out in the driveway and says, we're going to church. Anybody want to come? She didn't do it this morning. We were a little pressed, but as we got on the car, we said that. So anyhow, the statement found approval. Well, let's back up. Some of them, okay. Brothers, select among them 7 men of good reputation. Notice also, full of the Spirit. We shouldn't even have deacons that aren't full of the Spirit serving tables.
Come on.
Ooh, you're going to see where the Spirit, why we've been talking so much Holy Spirit, because the emphasis on these people they put in this place of serving were full of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So it says, not only good reputation, but full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. You just don't put everybody in charge of just a task. Come on. They have to have a proven track record. They have to be full of the Spirit. It's got to be proven. Full of wisdom. Notice what else. Verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. So in other words, they didn't take a vote. They just knew that, hey, this sounds good. Yeah, guy in the congregation say, hey, I'm going to get an opportunity to wait on tables. And they all agreed, no, don't select everybody and anybody, but select those who have a good reputation. And those who know who has a good reputation are those that they work with or that they hang out with. The statement came with approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen. Okay? Up until this time, we have never heard of these guys. They're just common Joes, but they got a good reputation. They're full of the Spirit and of wisdom. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Somehow it emphasized not only was he full of a good reputation and full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, but he's full of faith in the Spirit. I believe that's important too. Because in Ephesians it says, by grace you are saved through faith. You're not saved by grace alone. You're saved by grace through faith. Without faith it's impossible to please God. So you can have all the grace out there. Grace is activated by faith. You want more grace, then you have to exercise faith. So he said to Stephen, a man full not only of the Spirit and wisdom, but a man full of faith in the Spirit. Woo! So you want to grow praying in the Spirit. You build up yourself on your most holy faith praying in the Spirit. Amen. You want to grow in faith? Renew your mind. Be transformed with the renewing of the word. So notice what? They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Notice, you don't even hear about 5 of these guys after this incident. But they were people full of faith. They must have been faithful. And notice what happens then. And when they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. In other words, they brought these 7 people. The apostles prayed about, got confirmation of it, said, yeah, these are the men. They laid hands on them and said, go do it. Verse 7. What happened? The word of the Lord kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly. Not just increased, but greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, those in the council
Amen.
Are starting to have encounters with those that are going out. Stephen and Philip. In verse 8, Stephen must have been good at working at tables and serving. Because in verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, or the Spirit, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. The first time we have it break out of the leadership into the congregation.
Hallelujah.
Deacons. Deacons that were full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, doing miracles. Can you see those deacons having, and what a great job everybody did on that friends and family times, but we open it up and they come in and the deacons, you there working on tables, are doing miracles, signs and wonders. Woo! Amen. And all the place looks beautiful from the decorations. I'd love to come in, new atmosphere and all that. But we're doing miracles. Stephen just didn't wait on tables. Well, he's waiting on tables, he's doing miracles. He's performing. He's doing. He's not just serving. I'll tell you what, that sounds like a good job to have. While you're serving, you're doing miracles. You're healing the sick. Signs and wonders.
Yes.
It breaks out
yes.
of the mentality of the clergy into the laymen.
Yes.
Are you following this?
Yes.
But some of them from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen. Now, who are the freedmen? The freedmen are those that were set free from slavery. And it tells you where they were set free from slavery from, including both Syrians and Alexandrians. Those were those from north part of Africa that were in slavery. And they had a synagogue that was just gathering those that were freed from slavery in Jerusalem. And so that's what he's talking about. But some men that were called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. I'm telling you, they're having a revival and people are raising up to argue with them. It sounds like us today. Someone experienced a revival and we want to do an argument of why it's not God. Get reports of miracles and signs and wonders. Well, that couldn't be God, because the seven last words of the church is God never did it that way before. That's awesome. Oh, in Joshua chapter 5. They've never been that way before. Well, I got news for you. God's got a lot of things he's going to do. Well, the last part there are the free men are from Turkey, what is known as Turkey. So you have Africans that are free from slavery. You have those from Turkey. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit. I'm good. I mean, Stephen, he's just a table waiter.
Come on.
They're trying to talk him out of it. They can't talk him out because he's full of the spirit
yes.
and wisdom.
Yes.
And the spirit which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, this is the fake news, we have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses, against God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. And they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. They put forward false witnesses, fake news. The devil is still the devil. He's the father of lies. And the only thing he can do is lie.
Yes.
So if you're not like the church at Berean, who check out the facts. Okay. They put forward false witnesses who said, this man incessantly speaks against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say, we have heard him say. They didn't hear him say. Be careful that you're not talking about what you heard someone else say. They heard them say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us. I said all that to get to verse 15. And fixing their gaze on him. There's going to be another time we use this word gaze, so I'm going to give you this. This gaze is not just a glance and a turning away. This gaze is a stability and an intentional long gaze. I felt that in worship. He's bringing us in worship where we're gazing, but what we're gazing on is the one we're worshiping. It's not just kind of we're singing nice songs and being distracted all over the place, but my gaze is on the one who I'm worshiping. Well, their gaze was upon him, Stephen, and all who were sitting in the council saw his face like that face of an angel. The council couldn't describe it as the glory of God, so the best they could do was describe it as a face of an angel. What they had done is because, and you're going to see that late, this is before he even gets stoned. When he gets stoned, he fixes his gaze upon heaven. Woo! We get our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's going to change our surroundings. The trouble is we haven't set our eye, fix your eyes on him. They saw. They gazed. In other words, in chapter 7, we're not going to read chapter 7, all this, because he gives them a sermon, and they're intent on looking at this guy. You ever heard someone speak like that? You go, and the only way they could describe what they were experiencing was his face. I want to tell you, his face shone like the bright sun because he had been looking into the eyes of Jesus. And it caused all the council, all them that were arguing. Are you out there? I believe there's a group coming. It's going to be rise up, sons of God, yes. Where when people encounter you, they're going to go.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have a couple of times been out and someone come up and said, just kind of tap me, I'm in the store, and they say, whoa, you got a glow about you. I thought,
thank you.
This is new agey. And then the Lord said, no, that's the only way they know how to describe what you're carrying. You'll be about shopping. I remember listening to the testimony of, I think it was Jerry Savelle. Jerry Savelle, when he first started experiencing seeking the face of God, he went into the grocery store or the big Walmart or whatever it was, and he's walking up and down aisles, and people start coming around and saying, what is it? Because they recognized that this light was coming in the aisle wherever he was. And he was shopping, putting stuff in his... And I know Jerry Savelle, he's probably putting in there saying, speaking in tongues, and the glory of God was seen by those, and they were coming around to see where it wasn't the blue light special at Kmart. I think of the testimony of Smith Wigglesworth. He'd get on a train just to go somewhere. And he'd get on the train, and people would start falling on the ground, crying out, what must I do to be saved? He hasn't said anyone. He doesn't know, but he's carrying a presence. They don't know how to describe it.
Yes, yes.
His face shone like an angel. Why did it? Because the glory of God. He had an encounter with Jesus, a face-to-face encounter. This is Stephen, the one that was serving tables. You can't say, but he was an apostle. He was called to serve tables and to carry the glory and the presence of God. And then he gives you this long, and it's not really long, it's only 50-some verses. So it's not a long thing, but he gives them a whole sermon, and they're gazing. We don't know what he's talking about, but look at his face. Wow. What in the world's he talking about, huh? Things we got to do to entertain you. Okay. Let's get down to the last part. Verse 44, chapter 7. This is the last part of his verse. And he says, our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness. Notice what that says. Our fathers had a testimony in the wilderness. You know, when they saw the glory, Shekinah glory, come into the tabernacle, everybody had to come out of their tent and stand in the doorway of their tent and look, because all the 12 tribes were around that tabernacle. And they knew when the glory came, they would see the glory go in there. When Moses went in there to meet with the Lord, and they would have to stand on the outside. So that's what it's talking about here. It says, our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it in their turn, our fathers brought it in with Joshua upon dispossessing the nations whom God drove out before our fathers until the time of David. So he's talking about this testimony. First one, Shekinah of glory, is in the tabernacle of Moses. Now he says up until the time of David. And it says, David found favor in God's sight and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands, as the prophet says.
Amen.
The way he meets in the Old Testament is not the way he meets in the New. Woo! We're moving into a new place. In houses made by human hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne. This is Psalm 110. Heaven is my throne and earth is my foot, the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? I believe that's the question he's answering right now. And he's not talking about a house of brick and mortar. It's not one that can be made with human hands. He's talking about you are the temple of Holy Spirit. He's building a temple. And it's a temple of sonship.
Yes.
Amen. All creation is waiting for the revealing of mature sonship to come into the earth. Or what place is there for my repose? Was it not hand which made all these things? And then verse 51. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised. Whoa. How do you like to be talking to the council like that? The high priest and the priest were there. And Stephen, just a waiter on tables, filled with the spirit and wisdom, says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcision heart and ears are always resisting what? Holy Spirit. I want to say, he's asking that. I feel that so strong. Why do you keep resisting the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid what he might reveal? Because he's come to reveal. He's come to perfect Christ in you and bring fullness.
Amen, amen.
If you're afraid of it, you're going to resist Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He's not going to knock you down. He's not going to cause you to, you know, roll on the floor and shake all over the place. He may, but that's not what it's about. He's coming to kill you. You're afraid of being killed. I'm talking about, you know, there's no resurrection. The first resurrection's already taken place if you're born again. You were dead in the spirit. And when you accepted Jesus, you were raised. He raised your spirit to life. The last part of you that's going to be raised from the dead in resurrection is your body. It's going to defeat death. But until then, every encounter, your resurrection. And you want more resurrection power?
Woo-hoo!
Then we got to die.
Yes.
Come on. If you're afraid of dying, really, you need to get born again, because that's one of the things, for me, my testimony was, there. When I was growing up, there were many times I remember going to my mother because I wouldn't want to go to sleep, because I thought, if I go to sleep, is that all there is? What happens next? No, and she couldn't tell me. So I didn't go to sleep because I afraid if I went to sleep, I might not wake up. I'm going to tell you what happened when I got born again. I lost the fear of death. Boy, I sleep good. In fact, I was singing songs last night as I was snoring. Apostle Linda said I was singing songs in the spirit. I sleep like a log. No fear of death in me. Amen. I got resurrection power. You stiff-necked, resisting the Holy Spirit, you are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of you, of the prophets, did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Verse 54, now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. I thought, what does cut to the quick mean? Do you ever check out things? Cut to the quick, it means to cut in half with a sword or a weapon. But what he's doing, he's cutting the flesh from the spirit. They were hearing truth, but they want to hang on to their own traditions. They heard what he said. When people start to encounter us, man, something ought to come over them. Conviction ought to be able to come all over them. They want to believe what you're saying, but they want to hang on to what they believe. So they were cut. I mean, they had to make a choice now. They were quick cut in the spirit. But being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed again intently in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I want to tell you, the way out of your situation is to gaze intently upon the Lord God. You start to encounter him and you'll forget about your circumstances. That's right. And you'll start to bring his answer into your situation.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing greater than what Stephen was faced. They were getting rock, and these were professional rock throwers.
Yeah.
They're not just kids that, you know. These guys knew the rocks with the shapes. They were professional rock throwers, and they would aim at the head. That was it, to get the knockout. So, man, they're choosing right now. We're not going to believe what he says, but the only way we do is shut him up. And so what did Stephen do? He didn't go into prayer. He just gazed intently. And I don't know how long, but he got so intent on gazing that he forgot he's being stoned. Woo, well, he hasn't been stoned yet, but man, he set himself up for not forgetting. Look what it says. And he said, behold, I see, verse 55, but being full of the Spirit, so we want to be filled of the Spirit all the time right now, because we don't know what we're going to face. He gazed intently, and that word intently means for a long time. It wasn't just a casual. He was gazing into heaven. And in gazing into heaven, he began to see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He didn't lose his gaze. He kept gazing and gazing and gazing.
Yes.
That's where I want to be.
Yes.
In every circumstance, man, I'm gazing into your eyes, Jesus. I got a revelation of you. And even if, they kill me, I know I'm going to be with you.
Yes.
He has an Enoch encounter. You know, Enoch walked with the Lord for 200 or 300 years. That you don't realize that. He became so close, he just went to be with the Lord. Here's Stephen's having the same encounter, a resurrection encounter. He's so caught up in the resurrection, he's not recognizing the crucifixion or the dying. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the name of the Lord. He kept calling and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. See, your spirit is the internal being, not your flesh. The real you is what's going on the inside. And he wants to expand us on the inside so that we can deal with the outside.
Amen.
You know, Peter and John had that conversation. Peter wanted to know, and Peter was crucified upside down. He was so radical, outspoken. They crucified him upside down. Peter wanted to know when Jesus was talking to John, what about him? He said, don't worry about him. I'll take care of him. John was the only disciple that was not crucified or martyred. God prolonged him, but he went. I can see John being dipped in boiling oil, it said. What was he doing? I don't think he was saying, man, this stuff is hot. I'm getting burned, my flesh. I think he was just gazing on Jesus so much. It's like being the three being thrown in the fire.
Yeah.
They made a decision. We're not backing down. You do what you want. Throw us in the fire. If God's not God, that's fine. We know who he is.
Yes.
And in the fire, they weren't burned. Whew. In fact, they came out of the fire and they didn't even smell like smoke. Because the fourth one was in the fire. It was Jesus. He wants us to be looking so intently in this day, in this hour.
Yes.
That what's going on around us, we're not being ignorant. We're not being hermits. We're still about going about our business because we have a good reputation, and your reputation can hinder those receiving Jesus. But Stephen had a good reputation, and he knew where it came from. It came from his source, which was Jesus Christ. And he gazed intently until he saw the heaven opened and the glory of God, which was Jesus himself in all of his fullness, not sitting at the right hand of God, but standing. He was standing because he was getting ready to receive Jesus, Stephen, onto himself. And how do you know where he was in the spirit? Here's what it says. Then fallen, verse 59, they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. And the word asleep there in English is just another word, he died physically. But his spirit stepped into glory. Huh? Yeah. In other words, he saw Jesus on the cross, I believe Stephen did. And he followed the pattern of Jesus who said, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. You think Stephen's life had an impact? Starting chapter 8. We wouldn't have the Apostle Paul without Stephen. The Apostle Paul was there at that stoning and he was commissioning it, but he was the coat holder. They took off their coats and he was holding it and said, yeah, give it to him. But what did Paul come away with? He came away with a testimony of someone that saw the glory of Jesus, and then he has that encounter. I'm telling you, this encounter is available to everyone if you seek his face. Amen?
Yes.
Seek his face intently. I don't know what that looks like. I'm just trying to, in my own self, practice looking into the face of Jesus every time I think, well, I'm driving, I'm praying in the spirit, or I'm just driving. Just look, what's it mean to look into his face? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, when we gaze into a mirror, it's not what you see in you, it's what you see in him, and you'll become like him.
Yes.
And the revealing of the sons of God is the manifestation of Jesus in the earth. And Romans chapter 8 says, all creation. This week, man, there were some big earthquakes that happened. There's more flooding going on. There's more things going on in the natural, but wars and rumors of wars. Let's get our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. As you're looking down, as we look up, we know there's all kinds of chaos going on, all kinds of craziness. Father, in our own lives, we don't have to look outside ourselves. We don't have to look at the wars. But Father, in our own life, Father, there's dissensions and arguing and warring going on. We don't even have to look outside our own bodies, that in our own self, our minds and our emotions, there's turmoil going on in us. We're wrestling, Father, with what the Spirit is saying on the inside. And so, Father, you want to circumcise our hearts this morning. The Father, it comes with surrender. Humble ourselves. You said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. We must humble ourselves, Lord, and then pray. Pray, Father. Jesus gave us the pattern of prayer. Pray thy kingdom. Pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, our eyes are on our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We glorify your name. We exalt you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we thank you that we're praying, let your will be done in me, in us, in the earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And then, Father, you said, seek your face.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Show us your face, Lord. Show us your glory.
Yes.
As we seek your face, Jesus, you're revealing your glory just as you did on Matthew chapter 17 to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they looked, and your face, Jesus, was like the bright shining sun, and your garments became white like lightning. Father, we thank you that when we gaze upon you, we become like you. Thank you, Father, that there's no exemption between laity and clergy. That, Father, we thank you the pattern was broken in chapter 5 and 6 and 7 when, Father, you told the apostles to, out of the congregation, choose disciples who have a good rapport, and a good rapport that are full of the Spirit, that are full of faith and full of grace, full of wisdom. So we thank you that each one of us, Father, as we're growing up into you, as we're maturing, we're becoming full of Jesus and all of his glory. The Father, when in that same chapter, Father, it says in chapter 4 and 5 that when Peter just went out to go shopping, the Father, they laid the sick on the street so that
yes.
at least his shallow
yes.
would touch them.
Yes.
The Father's, we're about natural business. We thank you that you're calling us to be about the Father's business. That, Father, we know the times, we know the opportune times, that Father, we're doing what we know how to do and keeping our eyes on you, and you're manifesting not only in us, but you're manifesting through us. And so I thank you this morning. I thank you that, Father, in this great reset, the reset is resetting your church to think like you're thinking, Lord, that we've all, Father, have been born for such a time as this, and
yes.
we're all called, Father, to come into the manifestation and the revealing of Jesus in us and through us. So I thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, for it didn't stop with Stephen, because if you read in chapter 8, it went on to Philip. We don't know much about Philip, but said he went down to Samaria in obedience and preached Christ unto them. And they were amazed at the miracles and the signs and the wonders that you were performing, Father, watching over your word. So, Father, we thank you that each one of us, Father, can participate in this revival. Each one of us is called. We thank you it's a grace, but Father, you said we're saved by grace through faith. So we thank you that, Father, faith activates grace. And we thank you we're a people of faith. In fact, the church was called the faith. And we thank you right now in the way. So we thank you. Holy Spirit, right now, speak to hearts. I thank you that you're upset, overturning the tables of mindsets, breaking the spirits of tradition off of us.
Yes.
Ways we thought that are contrary to this thought, thinking I can't be used, thinking that it's going to take someone else, or I don't have this or that. We don't know the qualifications of Stephen and Philip, but we do know this, that they were full of the Spirit and wisdom and faith and grace. So we thank you. These are spiritual dynamics that each one of us can access through Jesus. As we have face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Father, I don't know what it looks like. I just know that, Father, the council and those outside saw the face of Stephen. And his face was shining like the sun. We thank you that in this season, Lord, many are hopeless. Many, Father, are sheltering again. Many reports are coming, Father, that are causing fear to arise, not only wars, but, Father, different viruses and different sicknesses that are breaking out. Father, we keep our eyes on Jesus. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, Father, we thank you. We stay in faith. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus. Our eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. We honor you. We bless you. Do you have your eyes closed? And you know, you can have your eyes closed and be looking around. Eyes closed because your mind's wandering. It's going all over the place. Scripture in Psalms says, be still. In Hebrews 4 and 5, it talks about the rest of God. This is the rest of God, having our eyes fixed on Him even in the midst of chaos. Even in the midst of verbal stoning, may not receive a physical, but a verbal. See yourself fixing your eyes on Him. And Father, I pray that we might know how to prolong our stay with You. It's not a physical thing, but a minute in Your presence can be, or a day can be like a thousand years. One encounter, 1 second. So, Father, I pray we'll have an increase, not in only an increase in encounters.
Yes.
But, Father, we thank You that our ears will begin to hear more clearly.
Yes.
That we'll be obedient, Father, when we're about our daily business.
Yes.
That we'll hear that still small voice and we'll be able to stop and say, I know that voice. And we thank You for that instant, explicit obedience.
Yes.
To obey. Not questioning, not saying, well, I don't have time for this or that. He'll make up the time.
Yes.
But Father, we want to be just obedient. Thank You. A lot is at stake, Father. It's more than just natural things. It's spiritual destinies. So we thank You. Let's pray this together and say, Father,
Father,
I thank you
for grace.
And I believe in my heart.
And
confess with my mouth. Jesus is my Lord. Thank You for forgiving me of all my sins. I receive You, Jesus, as Lord of my life. I believe You were raised from the dead. And as You were buried, I was buried with You. All my old man, all my sin nature went to the grave with You. And when You were raised from the dead, I was raised. So I thank You, I'm born again. I thank You, resurrection power abides in me. I thank You, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I ask now that You fill me again with Your precious Holy Spirit. Your promise, Father, that Jesus poured out on the day of Pentecost, I now receive. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's just pray in the Spirit a minute. Oh, we receive, Father, that fresh wind. Oh, the fresh wind. Oh, randa busharara boshoto randara. Buronda rakato to rebu shalalaba randaroho. Ya rando to rehe. Oh, tareboho ratara la la boho ho ho ho. Arahaha zoto rote kilele hato rode. And Father, as we gather as the body, we thank You that You made one new man in Israel and the Gentiles. And we pray for Israel now. You said, Father, those that bless Israel will be blessed. And it's not just blessing them, Father, but it's praying for them and standing in agreement with them. We know they don't do everything right, but we thank you, Father, that you're there. Them and their land is chosen of you and given by you in covenant. And so we pray right now for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray right now, Father, that these ceasefire, Father, would just hold, that, Father, we call all the hostages out in the name of Jesus. A quick resolution to the hostage situation in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you right now for what you're doing. It's causing, Father, those that have been scattered around the world to, Father, answer the call back to Israel. And those that, Father, aren't coming back, that they're supporting and praying. And we stand with our brothers and sisters in Father, Israel right now. Pray for them. Pray right now, Father, for an opening of their eyes, that they would see their Messiah that they're waiting for. They'll see him. They'll encounter him. Encounter Jesus. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Woo. Well, as always, you know, and sometimes one of the things people say, well, they don't have altar calls here. Well, there's a lot of altar calls that go on in the service. And the altar call for salvation, you just prayed it. And if someone prayed that, you're born again. You don't have to, you know, join a church. It's a heart circumcision. And so you're born again and filled with the Spirit. If you need prayer for healing, there's people here. How many are believers? How many are afraid to raise your hand because you don't know what I'm going to say? You're believers. All those that raise their hand are believers. You can ask to pray for you, because they carry the same resurrection
That's
power.
Right.
It says, these signs shall follow
Amen.
Them that believe.
Amen.
So you're a believer, so these signs should follow you that believe. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
So we're activating every believer to lay hands on. So you just turn to someone, say, on the way out, I could use prayer, and that's all right. Then just pray. Just pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go in the name and the power of his might, and we'll see you in December. Go in Jesus' name.